This morning, I'd like to share a message titled, How to Be Peaceful, in an Anxious World. How to be peaceful in an anxious world. You know, there's so much going on in our world, but I want to read a couple verses that I think will help us and help you today of trying to find peace in the midst of the anxiousness and the anxiety that is in our world today. There's someone that sent me a message in Messenger some time ago, and they shared how it's been very difficult for them dealing with this, and I thought, well, what a great time to share a message that will help us all as we kind of struggle through and grapple with all the dynamics of the coronavirus and what's going on in our world. And the verses come from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to that. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. I'm going to read them to you. Paul has written this in a letter to Philippi or the Philippians. Here's what he says. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Two powerful verses. We're talking about how to be peaceful in an anxious world. I want us to understand the context. Paul, the writer of this letter, is in a prison in Rome. It's about 62 AD. He's been in prison because of his faith, and they're holding him, and he writes a letter to fellow believers in Philippi. Now, here's what I want you to understand. This guy's in prison. I mean, the prisons in that day were dark. They were unbearably cold, lack of water, cramped quarters. The sickening stench from few toilets made sleeping difficult and waking hours miserable. So here's a guy that's in prison, and he's writing a letter to other people about not being anxious. Now, when you read the book of Philippians, just it's not real long, and you read the four chapters, I want you to pick up on this. There's no complaining. There's no murmuring. There's no grumbling. There's no blaming. There's none of that in this book, in this letter. And Paul says, I want to talk to you about not being anxious. I want to talk to you about how you can get there. And so when you think of being anxious, it's when we experience worry, unease, or nervousness. Hey, our country is filled with circumstances that will make us or drive us to feel anxious because of what's going on around us. And Paul has a word for us. He says, hey, God has a pathway to for you and me to know peace. I did a little research, and from the American Psychological Association, when it comes to the word anxiety, and that's a sister to anxiousness, anxiety is a top concern among college students, about 42%. See, college kids can be anxious and be filled with anxiety. How about this one? Depression. Depression in adolescents who reported it. You know, you think of it as an adult issue, but even youth, adolescents, between 20 to 30% of adolescents reported depression of some kind, whether they're in high school, even from age 15 on. Depression, anxiety, anxiousness. One more sister word, loneliness. Loneliness is defined by researchers as feeling lonely more than once a week. It's when people feel empty, alone, and unwanted. And while they said 60% of people today feel and experience loneliness. So when you think of anxiousness, anxiety, when you think of a depression, loneliness, all these issues of mental health, I want us to understand God has a word to speak into our lives today. Now, I want to show you a temperature gauge from, let's say, of an engine of a car, and this is attached to the temperature of the water in the radiator. Take a look at it. On the left side is a blue box, and that's where life is good. It's cool. Everything's under control. And when you go to the first marking, I want you to think of that as, well, things are getting a little warmer, and we'll call that concern. You know, having concern about children and issues and money in life is good because we were wired to be that way. We need to be responsible. But when the needle moves more to the center or the top right, we could call that worry. In other words, something that starts out as a concern becomes a worry. And the needle advances towards the red box, which is the hot zone. And wow, when we get to the middle and we start worrying about something, it starts eating at us. And then finally, anxiousness. This is the red zone. It's when we reach a place of unease and it's impacting our ability to cope. And so you notice on this heat gauge, the needle is up past the red. Listen, we have to be careful. We do not live in the red zone. Because the red zone debilitates us. It brings us down. It robs us of joy. It steals life from us. We don't want to go out around other people. We want to pull back. God wants us to deal with and give us some tools of how not to live in the red zone. So here's what I want to do. I want to share with you three simple steps of what I'll call the pathway to peace. A pathway to peace. Three simple steps. Let's get started. Number one, the first step is this. If you're dealing with anxiety or anxiousness, number one, mentally embrace that God doesn't want you to be anxious. Now, the text says this. Do not be anxious about anything. In other words, if you and I are in the red zone, if the needle of our life is that high, God has a word to speak into our life. And the word is this: He does not want you and me to live there. You know why? It's destructive. It's counterproductive. He didn't make us to live with high anxiety and anxiousness. He made us to live with something called peace. So Paul says, hey, God says, do not be anxious about anything. Now, the New Living Translation says this: don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Hey, it says, don't worry about anything. I had to get a picture of this, and here's a picture I want to show you. This is an agitator from a wash machine. Okay, I went online and grabbed the picture. You know what an agitator does? It churns. It goes back and back and forth. It just agitates. It churns. And I thought that is one of the best descriptors of what happens to us when we get stuck in a state of anxiousness and anxiety. We agitate. We just spin back and forth, and there's this sense of churning on the inside. And Paul says this, God doesn't want us to live there. He doesn't want us to live like that. And so, hey, with the school being canceled and for the remainder of the semester, colleges and, elementary school, middle school, high school, there's a danger that we'll begin to churn and agitate. But I want you to, number one, mentally embrace God does not want us to live there. We were not made for that. In Matthew chapter 24, just before Jesus died, he's telling his disciples what's going to happen in the world to come. And he says, you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. He says, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines and earthquakes in various places. I heard there was an earthquake in the Philippines. I heard that on the news last night. All these are the beginning of birth pains. But I want you to notice one thing. There's a phrase sandwiched in the middle of this prophecy of what's going to happen at the end of the world. And here's the phrase. Jesus said this, but see to it you are not alarmed. In other words, all these things are going to happen in our world, but Jesus says, see to it. Take note. Be careful. Guard your heart. I do not want you to be alarmed. You know why? We weren't made for that. We're made for peace. We're made for God's presence to give us rest. So, number one, I want you to understand mentally in your mind, anchor to this. God does not want you to be anxious. He's got a better plan. Okay, that's point number one. Point number two in our steps to a pathway to peace is this. Spend time in the exchange zone. Spend time in the exchange zone, and I'll explain that. So verse 6 goes like this. Don't be anxious about anything, comma, then there's a three-letter word, but, B-U-T. It's a conjunction word. You know what conjunctions do? You look at what has just been stated, and then you look at what is to follow. It's a transition word. It's a pivot word. And so he says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. You know, let me talk about the exchange zone. If the needle of your life is in the red box and you feel like you're overheating, in other words, you're agitated, there's a sense of anxiety, there's a sense of even depression, there's a sense of loneliness, and you feel like you're inching that way up, here's a key thought. Spend time in the exchange zone. So, what does that mean? The word but, B-U-T, is a conjunction. And it says, okay, you need to pivot. You need to pivot your life into something else. And here's what it is. It's the exchange zone, and where we go to experience that is through prayer. He says, I want you to, hey, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So if you're feeling emotional intensity of anxiety and anxiousness, you go to the exchange zone, which is prayer, your prayer closet, and you begin to pray. Now, a best way to illustrate this, I know some of you out there, you ran track, you may be very good at relay races and sprinting and so forth. The baton handoff between two people is critical in a relay race. I mean, we're talking fractions of a second. A race can be lost or won depending on how good the baton is passed between people. Now, here's the key thought. You and I need to somehow enter the exchange zone and hand off the anxiety and the sense of, anxiousness, and replace it with something else. We give it to God through prayer, and He will then give us something in return. Now, you know, when you go to a bank, you take either a check in or it may be a deposit. You go to an ATM machine and you put your card in, and there's an exchange that takes place. You give this and you get something back. When we go to prayer, we give God the anxiety and the anxiousness. We just pivot. Go to prayer. We go to our prayer closet and we say, God, here it is. And all of a sudden, an exchange happens. The exchange can sometimes come very quickly, or sometimes we need to linger there. Say, God, I need you to take this from me and give me something else. You know, in football, the quarterback will hand the ball off. And the exchange is so important because it's easy to fumble at that point. Hey, you lose the ball. Things happen. But when you get a proper exchange between the quarterback and the running back, then hey, you want to gain yards. The same is true of prayer. When we hand off the anxiety and the anxiousness, the loneliness, the depression. We say, God, here it is. We pivot and we spend time in God's presence and we give it to him. So Paul says, listen, step one, understand in our minds, we were not made for anxiousness. Number two, enter the exchange zone through prayer of giving to God all that we're feeling. And then number three, the third step is this. Receive peace into your spirit. You receive peace when you trust God and you entrust to him what you're feeling. We can then receive a greater measure of God's spirit into our life. The word and is another conjunction. Verse 7 begins with the word and. We start out with don't be anxious, and then we get to the word but, which we enter a exchange zone, and then we hit another conjunction, and, which is used some 9,000 times in the New Testament. It's a connection word. If we get in the exchange zone, then and God will bring peace into our life. Here's what it says. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, peace is a pretty important deal. You know why? In the book of Galatians, there's 9 fruit that are mentioned. They're listed. Love, joy, peace. They're fruits of the Spirit. And when the Spirit of Christ lives in us, fruit will grow in our life. And so Paul says, hey, when you pray and do the exchange, God will be faithful to deposit peace into your life. It will become more powerful than the emotion of the anxiousness or anxiety that we're experiencing. And this peace can then rule in our life. You know, peace is that sense of calmness and tranquility. So with everything going on in our world, in our country, in Walton, New York, social distancing, I want you to know this. God does not want you to be alarmed. He wants you to be at peace. He doesn't want you to be anxious. Even though the 6:30 news reports so many things going on around us, he does not want us to be disturbed. He wants us to be calm and filled with peace and rest and calmness and tranquility on the inside. Well, here's a final picture. That's what God wants you to be on the inside. Everything around you may be falling apart, but he wants you to know peace on the inside of your life. So 3 simple steps. Number 1, mentally embrace that God doesn't want you to be anxious. Number 2, spend time in the exchange zone. Go to prayer. Spend time in his presence. Hand it off. Then number 3, we receive something back. It's called peace. It's called his presence. It's his power that transcends our understanding. It's a marvelous gift that God wants to give you. So I want you to look at that picture one more time, and I want to share a story about Ferdinand Magellan. The year is 1520. He battled for an entire year to find a passage around South America. At the very tip of the continent, in its icy waters, he encountered some of the worst weather anywhere on earth. Raging seas, towering icebergs, mutinous crew plagued his efforts. And he finally made his way through those straits. When he did, he entered into a great body of water that lay beyond those straits. And the straits are called the Straits of Magellan now. But he and his men lifted their faces to heaven and gave thanks to God, and he named the new ocean the Pacific Ocean, which means the peaceful one. The peaceful one. God wants you to punch through, to break through to the peaceful one, Jesus himself, that he'll give you an ocean of peace in exchange for the anxiousness that we experience. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray for every person listening this very moment. Father, I confess my anxiousness, and we all confess our anxiousness to you, and I pray for the person whose needle is in the red box to the far right, that you will somehow visit them and help them to understand and lay hold of that you don't want them living there. As a matter of fact, you have an ocean of peace that you want to give to them. So, Father, I pray for that person, that soul right now. And if there's someone listening that has never received Jesus Christ into your life, just pray this simple prayer after me. Father in heaven, I confess I need you. Forgive me of my sins. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me and rose again the third day. And right now, by faith, I invite him into my life. I ask him to be my Savior and my Lord from this moment forward. Give me the peace that only he can give. In his name I pray, amen. Well, today is the day that we're going to celebrate communion. And at this time, Pastor Jack is going to come and lead us in the communion ritual.
Good morning, church family. It's good to be with you. As you know, the first Sunday of the month, we always partake in communion. So if you're joining with us in your home on our live stream, we want you to be fully participating in this act of remembrance for the Lord. And the name of the communion this morning is about receiving forgiveness and redemption through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I want to provide just a couple of guidelines as we think about taking communion. You know, communion is more than just a ritual. It's a time to sit back, reflect, to evaluate, to remember, to pause. And it's remembering that what Jesus did for us, that our salvation cost him his life. And so as we do this, let's remember as we partake and with thanksgiving how God has given us a path for salvation. And for those of you who have children at home, we always want to remind you, please make sure your children understand what communion is about, and if they're prepared to do that, then we would welcome them to participate. Then as a reminder to all of us, wherever you are listening from, our church has what we call an open table, and that simply means you do not need to be a member of our church to participate in communion. The only requirement is that you are a believer in Jesus Christ and that you know for sure that he's forgiven your sins and you're doing your best to walk and abide in his presence. So earlier in the week, Pastor Larry would have sent to you on email the communion guidance and ritual that we'll be using. And if you don't have that in front of you, we'll be putting the words on the screen that will be behind me. So I'm going to begin where it says pastor, and then you'll be following along where it says people. We'll be reading that together. So let's begin. Come, all of you who are loved by God, come and quench your thirst from the waters of life. Come, let your spirits be filled again with the goodness of your Creator. Let's join together. You have, Lord God, giver of all things, we hear your invitation. We see your gifts of life and grace. We have come, we have tasted, and we know. God, you are good. You formed us in your image, and when we turned away from you, Your love remains steadfast. You made covenant to be our sovereign God and spoke to us through your prophets. We recognize the ways that we have failed to believe in your forgiving power. In the name of Jesus, we pray that you would come and cleanse and heal us. Jesus came to proclaim release to the captives and set at liberty those who are oppressed. And by his suffering, death, and resurrection, you have delivered us from the slavery and death. In your great love, you did not abandon us in the dark and fearful places of this world, but in Jesus, you came to us to rescue us, to restore us, and to give us new life. Come, all of you who are loved by God, come to the table of the Lord, and all who are tired and burdened, all who are sick and broken, can come and find new life at the cross. In remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ and in union with Christ's offering for us, we proclaim, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
Thank you, Pastor Jack. In the night of the betrayal, Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he says, "This represents my body, which is broken for you." And he said to partake of it and to do it in faith, because his death and the sacrifice of his body was the means by which we would achieve salvation by faith. He then took the cup, and he said it represents the juice that would represent his blood, which would be shed for the mankind, all of mankind. And as we partake of it, it is the blood of Christ and our faith in it that cleanses us from sin. So today, as Pastor Jack just led us through, we're gonna do this as an act of remembrance for God's goodness and grace to us. Now, I want you to do this in a way that lifts you up and gives you hope. Because when we partake through faith the bread and the juice, we are affirming our faith that God will help us deal with the anxiousness, the anxiety, the depression, the sense of loneliness, or whatever it is we might be dealing with during this season of our lives and in this season of our country. And the victory belongs to those who will reach out and claim it and believe it. So I'm going to lead us now into partaking, and you're sitting around your table at home and your family may be there, or maybe you're by yourself. But let's just share in this together. He took the bread and he broke it, and he says, "This represents his body. To do this in remembrance of him, you may partake." He then took the cup, and he said it represents his blood, and he wants us to partake of this as an act of faith. You know why? The blood has power to cleanse the deepest stains in our life as we lift our faith unto him. So as you partake this morning, do it in faith and celebrate with thanksgiving. Hey, we can enter the exchange zone even now in this moment. We give to him that which is unhealthy. We hand it off to him. And he gives us something better in return. You may partake. Father, we thank you this morning that this sacrament of remembrance renews our faith, anchors us to what can change us going forward, and that is the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ himself. Bless and encourage each person who partook of this today. May you draw close to them, and somehow, some way, may they feel and sense the power of your presence upon their life. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like for us to share in the Lord's Prayer. Pastor Jack's going to put it on the screen, and just let's pray this together, shall we? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.